Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Afternoon, middle of the week, a lot happening, and we have some pretty amazing guests for you today. We thank all of you for being here, and let's get right to it as we begin this Wednesday afternoon with some news that you may have heard of by now, but it is going to get very interesting very quickly. What is up with the Big Ten SEC partnership? We'll talk to Pete Thamel about that coming up here in just a few minutes. And later, the commissioner. The NCAA and its dwindling power. Have you heard that before? Yes, you better. Stuart Mandel, who wrote this piece, will join us about what went wrong for the organization that used to run everything and now seems to be hanging on by a thread. From Sportico, Michael McCann writing about the NCAA early victory against Tennessee could prove short-lived. They were able to delay a TRO yesterday, but they may have won the early battle. They may not win the war. Michael McCann joining us right now. Michael, always great to have you. So much to talk about, but let's start with the decision by a judge in Tennessee not to allow a temporary restraining order. Go through that. What does that mean, and ultimately, what is ahead?
Sure, Paul. Thanks for having me back on. So the major point of this is that the NCAA gets a reprieve of sorts in that Tennessee wanted a temporary restraining order that would have prevented the NCAA from enforcing rules that make it against the rules for colleges and collectives to offer NIL as inducements to go to a particular school. So if the judge had granted that order, that would have been a major change in that colleges and collectives would then be able to directly offer NIL money to athletes as an inducement. They didn't get that, but they only didn't get that, Tennessee, because of they couldn't show something called irreparable harm, which is harm that money damages can't later cure. And the judge said, well, you didn't show that, Tennessee, but I actually agree with you on the key antitrust issues. It's really anti-competitive for the NCAA to not allow schools and collectives to offer inducements to players. So he really just debunked NCAA arguments that they need to preserve amateurism through limiting NIL opportunities. And I was really struck by his language. It's one of these decisions where you win, but you really lose.
So let's get into, as much as we can, the thought process of the judge saying that then, even before we get to the next step of this case. It means a lot, but explain his reasoning for it.
Yeah, so it means a lot because the Tennessee and Virginia, the other plaintiff, are seeking a declaration that these NCAA rules violate antitrust law because colleges and conferences join together to limit what each individual school could offer, right? So in a world where those rules didn't exist, a school could work with a collective directly and just simply offer money through NIL money to recruits to go to a school or transfer prospects. The NCAA doesn't allow that right now. So that's really what is at issue. And the judge is saying those rules that the NCAA has are problematic because they limit how much money athletes could get. So the market is constrained in a way that wouldn't exist but for those rules. So he really, Judge Corker really endorsed the viewpoint of Justice Brett Kavanaugh in the Alston decision, which is sort of a real rebuke. And what this means is that when he has another hearing on this, and there will be one soon, he could issue an order saying, look, these rules are illegal. Now the NCAA has an arsenal to challenge that. They could appeal for one. So it's not necessarily over, but it is not good for the NCAA.
So this hearing that's coming up, what happens then, and how soon afterwards could Judge Corker make his decision?
You know, he'll probably wait to make a decision until sometime thereafter, probably days or weeks, just because he'll want it in writing, because he knows that the NCAA is going to challenge it. But what I think we'll know, Paul, although the hearing's not, you know, televised, I think we'll know from reporting that he'll likely signal which way he's going to rule. And I don't know how he walks back from what he wrote in that temporary restraining order. I don't know how he now would declare, oh, you know what, the NCAA is right. Because the way he wrote that, he left very little margin of room for the NCAA to now rebut what he said. So they can try, but I think the writing's on the wall.
And Michael, I realized he was being asked about the TRO. Did he have to go that far in his written opinion, or could he have saved that for later? Because he was really just judging or making a judgment on whether irreparable harm had come. Had he not, was he not?
Yeah, it's a great question, because he could have just said, "Look, there's no irreparable harm because we're talking about NIL, and NIL is about money. And if an athlete can't get as much NIL money as they'd be able to get without a rule, they can be paid later. So it's not irreparable." But instead, he went on to say, yeah, it's not irreparable, but it's really bad. And it's really bad because it's anti-competitive, because it amounts to price fixing. It was a decision that he went into a level of depth that was not necessary for the specific ruling.
So, Michael, if you're sitting over there on the NCAA attorney side, which you're used to having your head bashed in by courts, what do you do knowing that you're going into really a hostile environment, so to speak?
Well, I think they have to be prepared for a ruling that their restraints on NIL, at least in terms of inducement, pay for play, are going to be ruled illegal under antitrust law. And then they'll formulate an appeal. They'll ask likely for a stay, that the decision doesn't go into effect until an appeal can be heard. So they'll come up with the strategy of basically mitigation, trying to make this less bad for their rules. But I think, as we saw in the case involving the restriction on transfers, the NCAA really backed down there, right? The NCAA could have fought that harder, but they said for the rest of the season, we'll remove that rule. Maybe they do that here. Maybe they just say, you know what? Fine. Let's have a free market and see how that works. And maybe the strategy there is if they want Congress to act, show that things are bad without these rules. I mean, that's one strategy, is to say, you want a free market, then you're going to get it. And maybe then they'll get more support in Congress. But the risk there, Paul, of course, is that it works, that the free market works well, and you can't walk back from that.
Yeah, and so assuming that all this goes out, all this goes down as we think it will, or you think it will, essentially, you can just do whatever you want, which we both know is pretty much what is happening anyway, other than you have this theory or this myth of NCAA enforcement.
Yeah, that's right. I think if we're being honest about it, this is already happening. There's already a free market. There's an absence of real enforcement. We've seen some examples of enforcement, but not a whole lot. And it's already happening anyway. So in a way, the actual practical change from the order, it will be big news in terms of the law, but in terms of what's going on day to day, it may not amount to that much. I do think the NCAA, if it loses, it will use that as a vehicle to say, look, you know, you want a world without rules, you have to live with it. And maybe that helps them when they lobby members of Congress. I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud that in a way they might be able to use this as an opportunity.
And Michael, I hate to keep bringing up today's news every time we talk about NIL legislation in Congress, but it's fairly chaotic right now in Congress. I mean, there are some big ticket items in front of that body that they can't decide on and can't move on. I'm asking you to guess as an attorney and as a professor. But ultimately, did you think anything that happens in Tennessee is going to affect Congress?
No. I mean, that's the truthful answer, is no. I don't, it's not this year. I don't think they're going to do anything this year. I mean, look, they have re-elections coming up. There's obviously a major presidential election where members of both parties are going to be joining the nominee for each party. Their time is really going to be away from Washington, D.C., the further and further this year it goes on. So if they didn't already get this done, and I always say, if they didn't get this done in 2021 before those state NIL laws went into effect, they're not going to get it done. That was the time to do it. That was the time for Congress to act. They didn't. They waited. They punted. There have been a lot of hearings since, but nothing actually happens. I think the moment's already passed.
Great stuff. Michael McCann, thank you very, very much. Michael McCann with the latest on the Tennessee situation and its portending another serious issue for the NCAA. We move on. A lot happening tonight on our program as we continue on. Pete Thamel will talk about the new SEC Big Ten alignment. Stuart Mandel on the dwindling power of the NCAA, as if you doubted that after our conversation with Michael. And the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, will join us to talk about the big news from last week. We have not heard from him. We will hear from him in just a couple of hours. And your phone calls.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are ready for your phone calls. It's already been a busy show with Michael McCann. Thank you very much for him being here. Let's get to Robert in Florida. Hello, Robert. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking. I've got maybe a couple of comments and then a question about the Dartmouth. The comments are regarding the NIL and the transfer portal. I don't really have a problem with NIL because it's basically allowed everybody to do what a lot of colleges have been doing to varying degrees, you know, without getting penalized for it, depending on how much risk you want to take. And then the transfer portal, I don't have any problem with, you know, if you graduated from college, you can transfer wherever you want. If your coach leaves, you can transfer wherever you want. But then why don't we just hold the athletes to the same standard we hold the coaches to? If they want to transfer, then if they've been paid something to go to that school, have the school that's getting them pay that school back whatever they had to pay or to get that student in the first place. That makes sense?
I think it makes a lot of sense, Robert. It sure does.
Okay. And then for the Dartmouth ruling, you know, it's a national labor relations board or wherever another bureaucracy that's unelected. The Supreme Court's been slapping those guys down quite a bit. But if even say that we're saying the NIL is separate from the university, right?
Correct.
The collectives. Right. So if they're saying those student athletes are employees of the university, wouldn't the members of the band be employees of the university, or anybody on an academic scholarship also be an employee at a university, or if you're on a work study, you'd be an employee, or your grad assistant or grad research assistant, you're an employee at a university. So everybody's going to be under that same umbrella, right? Not just half.
Yeah, I think that, I think you are correct about that. And that's really the issue, as you know. I mean, we're trending toward that. And I think that is the solution. It, but it's just a matter of it's a matter of survival for the NCAA.
Right. I think the NCAA is probably a done deal. And then take this down to the high school level. All your high school governing bodies. What, you know, I just got done watching that title town rush props. You know, the funny money and
right,
all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's going to, you know, if they take that to court, what's going to stop, you know, what's going to allow them to regulate paying high school students?
Assuming they're not already making money, which many are.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, thank you very much, Rob. Really, really a great question there. Sandra in Austin, you're on the air. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Paul. It was good to talk to you yesterday and good to talk to you today. I had something that I wanted to say, and then I had a question for you.
Sure.
I know we were on yesterday, and then that guy from Houston called in, and he is absolutely right. If you ask anybody to pick their favorite Q, you ask 100 people, you'll probably get 120 different answers. But he was right as well. But Rudy's is good too. No big deal. Not an argument, just agreeing with him. Also, if you were serious about letting me know when you're going to be here in Austin, I would love to bring you guys and your staff some Round Rock donuts. I don't know if you've heard of them, but
I have not.
They've been on the Food Network a couple of times. They've been listed as one of the top 10 donut places in the country, so I would love to be able to bring those down if
yeah,
you would let me know.
We as soon as we have not, I don't have anything booked yet, but we're not far from getting there for one thing, and then there'll be another thing which will be a little more noteworthy. But I will definitely let you know, Sandra.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Now I have my question.
Sure.
So, is it too early for you to make a prognostication as to who you think, first, the national sleeper team will be this year, and who the SEC sleeper team you think will be this year?
Well, I mean, let's start in the SEC. I have so many schools bunched together that it's hard to think about. I am going to defer to you for a second, because usually when somebody asks a question like that, they've thought about it. Do you have a sleeper in the SEC?
No, I really wanted your opinion.
So, because I think Missouri is got a chance to contend for the title, but I don't know if they're a sleeper, considering that they finished in the top 10 this year. I like Missouri and Ole Miss to make a serious run. And I have about five or six schools that are bunched together. So what I need to do is find one from the next group. And that would, that's where I'm having a hard time right now. Because, I mean, Oklahoma might be one of them, but Oklahoma right now probably wouldn't be in the top five or six in the SEC based on what the experts are saying. Is it Arkansas with Bob Petrino? Is it South Carolina with a lot of chaos going on there and a revamped lineup? Is it, Ole Miss can't be a sleeper because they were a top 10 team as well. Does Kentucky bounce back? Those are the kind of schools that we're talking about. I would probably guess Kentucky if I had to pick somebody who, because Kentucky did not have a good season. I would think Kentucky has a good chance of coming back and making a significant run, whether they get to the upper. Right now, the hard part is the upper division is seven schools, but it's a crowded area.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said Kentucky, because that didn't even cross my mind. But
the reason I mentioned it is because they really tanked out at the end of the year. They won the bowl game, I think. Didn't they win the bowl game? I'm trying to remember. I thought they did. I've lost track of the season, but they beat Louisville. That's what they did. They beat Louisville, which was an upset, and that really ended a bad run for them. Tennessee, I think, is a really interesting school, too, because they're not going to be picked in the top five or six, I don't think. And
yeah, no.
It wouldn't take a lot for them to advance to the next level. But I think what you can tell by my bumbling and stumbling, I don't have a good answer for you.
It's probably too early. Maybe I'll check in with you later in the next.
Well, I will definitely be here. Hey, thank you very much, Sandra. Broderick is in Nashville.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Broderick.
What's going on,
man? We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, man, I wanted to talk about my job. My boss, man, he's a lifelong Georgia fan. His name is Todd. We lost him last Tuesday when I got to work. You know, it was a really sad incident, and he was a lifelong Georgia fan, and I just wanted to shout out him and his family, man, let them know that we miss him, we love him, everything's going to be all right. The Penny, Daphne, Douglas, Mandy, Jason, and Bailey, all of them, let them know we love them, man. So I just wanted to say
well, I'm
that.
I'm glad you're so, Broderick, you said his name was Todd, is that right?
Todd Painter, yeah, Todd.
Okay.
Yes, he loved your show too, Paul.
Well.
Always listen, me and him would do jobs together, and we were turning on, man, just to listen at you, man.
Well, I am so sorry to hear that news, and Broderick, I appreciate your call, and we send our very best and deepest sympathy to his entire family. I thank you for sharing
thank
that.
Thank you, Paul.
You bet. You be well. You take care of yourself, and we come right back as we transition to some more conversation about the Big Ten and the SEC. That's going to be a big topic. Pete Thamel next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We are joined by Pete Thamel now to talk about an issue that's going to be a big topic the rest of the day and rest of the year, perhaps, and that's the joining together of the Big Ten and the SEC. We'll talk to the commissioner a little bit later. Pete, thank you for the time. Try to put this into perspective. What does it mean and why now?
You know, Paul, I think that the why now is a really interesting piece of this because it came, the announcement came on a Friday on the precipice of the meetings in Dallas of the CFP. And I just think if you look at the landscape right now, the walls are closing in on big time college sports. You've got the Dartmouth ruling. You've got the attorneys general. You've got the House case. You've got multiple other antitrust cases. And for all the, you know, verbal gumbo that got spewed from the transformation committee, they really didn't do anything. And I think this is two leaders aligned in the biggest conferences saying, we are not going to let others determine our fate. We're not going to let Eastern Michigan dictate what Michigan does. We're not going to let South Alabama dictate what Alabama does. We are going to forge forward with our arms linked together, not an alliance, Paul. We need to be clear about that. But they are going to, you know, as a joint advisory committee, I think, maybe group committee, whatever it is, they are going to try to set a path forward in a landscape where paths have been elusive.
Pete, it's interesting that it comes now, but it's here. Based on people you speak with and with whom you rely heavily on, where would the most likely first impact be from these two?
Well, I think the CFP is one, right? Like, just think of it from a, you know, from a perspective of those two leaders who've had a, you know, vast majority of the national champions the last 2 decades. And, you know, should the president of Washington State be able to hold up CFP, multi-billion dollar CFP business? Should unanimity be required from, you know, all the leagues and the presidents and the representatives, you know, what gives the Sun Belt the same say as the SEC or the MAC the same as the Big Ten? So I think it shows up in governance. I think it potentially shows up in access, whether it's automatic bids or whether it's no automatic bids, and it's just a free for all of the top 12. And I think most importantly, you could see some leverage being used here to show up in monetary distribution for the 6-year deal that's tagged on. So we have 2 years left on the current TV contract. When that new 6-year deal is forged, is there a new, you know, monetary distribution structure? So, you know, I think it's an inevitable byproduct of many of the biggest and best brands being clumped together in the biggest leagues, and certainly just splitting things evenly to the leaders of those leagues probably doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. And expenses aren't going down, right? Even just the, you know, legal fees and such, as you see here, and we can talk about settlement in a minute, but I just think, like, it makes sense for them to be aligned. It never made sense for the Big Ten, Paul, to join the previous alliance with the ACC and the Pac-12, because it was almost an admission that we're aligning ourselves with, you know, an inferior collection of properties. Like, that's just from a perception perspective and a business perspective, didn't make sense. And that was a defensive move, Paul. They were mad that the SEC took Oklahoma and Texas, and they were mad that happened as they were forming the 12-team playoffs. So they tried to do it as a shot across the bow that clearly didn't work, and it's now sort of a trope, right? The alliance, as it's looked at in the landscape. It makes sense for the SEC and the Big Ten, the Power Two. And look, we've been calling them Power Two on your show for a long time here, right, Paul? This isn't some new verbiage. This isn't a mystery. This, there have been a lot of signs that have portended this, and it's a little bit of here we are.
Pete Thamel with us from ESPN. Pete, you mentioned that alliance. A big part of that was the ACC. And of course, there's also the Big 12, which wasn't necessarily part of that. But what about the ACC? That's a once proud conference, or at least it used to be. Where does the ACC fit into any of this? Or how do they fit into college sports now?
Yeah, well, the ACC has a couple of those recent national championships, Paul, that weren't SEC or Big Ten, right? Obviously, Clemson has two, and Florida State has one, you know, within the last 2 decades. And, you know, the ACC is just at an interesting inflection point right now. You have Florida State, you know, with the unprecedented move of trying to, you know, suing the league for the grant of rights, and the league preemptively suing Florida State. It's a fairly, like, in a vacuum, it's a fairly wild scenario. Now, it's been normalized because we had a year of drumbeat coming up for it to happen. So it will be interesting. Again, like a lot of things in college sports, we'll learn a lot more from the courts as that happens. I mean, look, I still think the ACC is a vibrant part of the landscape. It's going to be interesting going forward. There's a pressure to keep up. Florida State has articulated that fairly transparently from their perception of where they need to be financially. It's interesting times because these two leagues aligning, Paul, sort of in potentially clearing paths forward. I think it pressurizes people to catch up.
Pete, beyond the governance and the power part of it, there was talk between in that previous alliance of a lot of games and scheduling. Do you think that it will trickle down to anything beyond the governance and the power or the lobbying? Do you think there's more to this than we have heard already?
Good question. One of the things we haven't really dove in, and I did an article earlier this week on ESPN.com that gets into this some, is I think that in forging a path forward, revenue share has to be basically part of the path forward for college athletics, right? There's too many court cases indicating that this model isn't going to work. So sharing revenue with the athletes is going to have to be part of it. And one of the things that's being discussed by, I was told, between the Big Ten, SEC, and others is, do we try to settle, say, the House case and create a path forward where, you know, they obviously have to pay past damages, and it's a lot, it's going to be a lot of money, Paul. Like, this isn't like $1 million buyout for a coordinator. It's going to be a lot of money. But with part of that, they say, okay, we paid these past damages in retroactive NIL in the House case. Then we're also going to say how we rectify in the future. We're going to give X percent of our TV revenue is going to be distributed to the athletes. And if you can, as part of a court order, sort of codify that, and again, this is some theoretical, right? This isn't like going to happen tomorrow. But part of the discussion is, if you can do that and sort of fix that part of it and find a way to do that wholesale, do you then go to Congress and do you say, okay, now we need antitrust protections? The line in my story that resonated, and I read it to a few others who were writing, was Congress doesn't want to save us. They want to help us. And so right now there's a feeling that congressional action would be more saving. And this is like, okay, we've figured out some of our problems. Now we need you to, you know, help us get to the finish line. So again, I want to stress this, Paul, there's myriad complexities, right? There's a lot of avenues and paths. I don't think anything is linear, but I do know there has been a lot of time and discussion on some type of settlement, forging a path forward in how, you know, in how college athletics looks and works. Because the only thing that's certain, Paul, is things are not going to look the same in 5 years. But no one can tell you exactly what they're going to look like.
Pete Thamel from ESPN, always appreciate his time. We head to the break. Don't forget the commissioner will join us 2 hours and 20 minutes from now. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. Let's grab some calls here. And Swamp Dog is up now. Good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Paul. Thank you for taking my call again.
Hey.
I want to talk to you about what I heard. I was listening yesterday. I heard I-Man say something that I want to make a comment about. You know, a while back, you and I had a conversation about what's wrong with him and the disease that he has, Sabinitis. He tried to use that word yesterday against an Alabama fan. And you know, you can't have Sabinitis if you're an Alabama fan. That just comes from I-Man himself. He's got Sabinitis. Alabama fans have non-Sabinitis. I don't remember which fan he was talking to about it, but it's just impossible. He don't even understand the disease that he has. And he, like you said, there's no cure for it. You checked on it. And apparently you're right, because he's continuing. Even with Saban gone, he just can't let it go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Nick Saban's out there playing golf in Florida. He's in Phoenix today playing golf. And everyone is giving him space except I-Man. I-Man continues to be obsessed because – Saban beat I-Man's team so many times and broke his heart, and you know the old Larry Munson line, you know, stomped his face with a hobnail boot. He just can't get over it.
Yeah, I understand that. But try to get the men to talk about some music once in a while. That'd be
that's
more
interesting. By the way, Swamp Dog, that is not any more interesting because the. He stuck at Woodstock, in 1969. He hasn't moved on. Bash is up next in Boulder.
Bash Brother Paul, thanks for taking my call. Is Bash Brother Randy in the studio today?
Randy is not here today.
Ah, that's okay. Then I wanted to ask you a quick question, Paul, about tonight's game. Who do you think is going to win between the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Auburn Tigers?
That would probably be the home team.
You're going with the Auburn Tigers. All right. Do you care to make it a little interesting, like Swamp Dog said? I bet Iron Man's going to be calling here and talking all that nonsense about Auburn and how he's going to say Auburn's going to win, and then when they lose, he's going to make every excuse, oh, the referees, oh, the fouls, oh, this and that.
I doubt sincerely, Bash, that Iron Man even knew there was a game tonight.
You're right. If he did, he would have already been promoting it throughout this week, but instead all he can do is just keep saying Nick Saban quit, all the Bammers are saying Sabanitis, and like Swamp Dog said, it's pretty hypocritical for him to take his insult and defer it to the Alabama fans.
Thanks, Bash. Appreciate the enlightenment. Alan is up next in Georgia. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Wanted to ask you if you know anything about what ESPN has got planned for your show for next year.
Wow, that's a prickly question. I don't. All of us here at the show just hope it keeps running.
Well, we do too. But now with this streaming service, are you up to date on what they're saying about it?
Well, I mean, I know what you've read, and it is a fact. All the news overnight about this new bundle. The SEC network is part of that, but I don't think it's going to affect anything you currently have. I think this is just another option and I haven't seen anything other than the press reports, but I don't think it will change what we do here every day.
Well, I sure hope not. Do you think that it'll change anything Laura does?
Alan, I really don't know because... Nobody that we work with has told us anything about it, other than
well, they're
it,
already
it happened.
Redoing some of her voiceovers on the ads on your program, and
now,
also
what are they saying? Is that you talking about the SEC on ESPN? Is that what you're hearing?
One of them is where she used to thank the sponsors that. Carried that advertised on the SEC channel all year around for all the different sports, and now it's some guy that's reading the exact same information.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know that, but really, I hate to keep act so uninformed, but I think I am.
Well, here's my problem with it. ESPN has screwed up so much lately. They've got game day to where I can't watch it. They've got Monday Night Football to where I watch it with the sound off. I'm just afraid they're going to continue wrecking things.
Well, I can't answer for the network. I mean, I understand what you're saying about game day, and there was another story out today about Herb Street that has a lot of Georgia fans upset. McAfee basically told the Georgia fans where to go a couple months ago, and now Herb Street's involved in a controversy. But we don't really have any control over that. I mean, I realize we all work for the same company, but there are 7,000 employees at ESPN. I'm one of them. And fortunately, and I say that because we are out of that main line of fire being down here in the hinterland, so to speak. So I feel pretty confident about what we're going to be doing this fall in terms of this show. I haven't been told that anything is going to be different, but there are always changes. I think the SEC Nation show is scheduled to be on at the same time. The only thing that would be different is that ESPN, ABC, SEC Network will have all the games, as opposed to having to go over to CBS and suffer through Gary Danielson.
Well, I tell you what, as bad as he is, again, with ESPN and these talk announcers, you know, give me a break.
Who are you talking about? Anybody in particular?
Well, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
Okay. Well, I don't think they're going anywhere.
The channel that's got Tony Romo, I don't think he even takes deep breaths the whole program long.
Well, Alan, here's the bad news. You're stuck with Tony Romo for Sunday night Super Bowl. And I agree with you. I have no idea how Tony Romo is allowed to be on the air. I mean, he does not know what he's talking about. I mean, he used to his first year, but I can't handle either one of those people, but that's just a personal opinion.
Well, it destroys, to me, the old announcers, Paul Chrisman and some of the old ones that let you, they knew that you knew enough about the ball game.
I agree with you. I mean, I work here, but that doesn't mean I like everybody I have to watch a football that's doing it. Hey, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. More to come right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.